turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. You might know these verses by heart. These were some of the verses I memorized before I knew how to read. I could quote them. Sometimes, though, you memorize it and you don't really know what it means. You don't completely understand it. That happens. That's why it's important to read your Bible and read it enough times. It just sticks with you. And to understand what it says. If you look at Romans chapter 3 and in verse 23, just to be very brief, just let me read that. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, because context is important, let's read the whole sentence. I'm really going to focus on verse 23. In fact, I'm going to focus on just one part of verse 23. But let's start reading in verse 21. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Amen. Now that's just one sentence. That's the way Paul writes. Puts a bunch of conjunctions in there and makes that sentence really long. And there's an awful lot in there to be touched on. We could preach on all of it, but it would take us till next week. You'd be here, you'd be getting hungry and being upset and murmuring. So I'm just going to narrow down my focus to verse 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Four elements to that verse. I'll tell you about the four elements, and then I'm going to focus on the fourth. The first element is all have sinned. Sinned. You know how many people are willing to say, "Oh, yeah, we're all sinners, we're all sinners." Or you ask them, "Are you a sinner?" "Well, yeah, nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes, right?" Well, how about if I tell you we're not talking about mistakes? And we're not talking about not being perfect. We're talking about sin. You know what sin is? It's where you know the right thing to do and you do the wrong thing. You know what you ought to do and you don't do that. You know what you shouldn't do and you do that. That's called sin. It's where you do something that you yourself condemn.
Amen.
Yeah. Somebody else does it to you, you'd condemn it. And then you do it to somebody else. Now then, has everybody sinned?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. First element is sin. We're all sinners. Second element is all. All of us. No exceptions. We're all sinners. Every single one of us. That tells us something. We're all bad. How in the world could we all be bad? Surely out of billions of people, one or two have gotten away out there without falling into this. No, there's something wrong inside. There's something wrong in our heart. All have sinned. We have a value. There is some value in distinction between good people and bad people, right? Don't we make that distinction between the wicked and the righteous? We'll say, no, I want to be around good people. And we even tell our kids, you know, walk away from some friends. They're the wrong kind of people. You don't want to be around them. But then other friends, we say, yeah, those are good kids. We like those. We're not against that. We distinguish between good people and bad people. But if you really stop and think about it, it's a very fuzzy line.
Yeah.
I mean, because we're talking about basically doing all the same things. I mean, we are all sinners, every one of us. That's the second element. It is a fuzzy line. Everyone is guilty of something similar. You might be, you know, accusing that person, but then if you stop and think about it, you're guilty of something sinner. I don't know if you, something similar. I don't know if you've done this, like driving in traffic. That's one of my pet peeves. I drive in traffic and somebody does something that I think, man, that's wrong. And then I realize, I just did that. Okay, we're all sinners. That's the second element. Third element, we've come short.
Yeah.
Come short.
Yeah.
You know what that means, right? Failure. Useless. You're useless. You came short. I didn't do it. That didn't accomplish it. You're inadequate. You missed. You missed. You tried, but you missed. You come short. Didn't quite pull it off. Wow, that's interesting, right? Another thing, he says, it's already. You've already come short. You've come short. It's, you know, some people are saying, I don't know. Well, wait till the judgment. We'll find out then whether I've come short or not. No, God's already told you. You came short. You already messed up. You don't have to wait for the judgment. What are you waiting for the judgment for? You think there's a question? You think there's some kind of maybe a doubt about it? Maybe you're thinking maybe you might pull it off. You think you might do a few good things at the end of your life and maybe that'll make up for all the bad stuff you've done all your life. No, God says already. You've sinned, you came short. Because God didn't want you to sin and God can't stand sin. You came short. It's already done. Your judgment has already happened. It's right there. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The fourth, are you still hopeful? You know, Sarah, where are you going to go when you die? Well, I hope I go to heaven. Are you still hopeful for it? God's already told you. You're not going to make it. You missed. You failed. All right. The fourth is this. The glory of God. You came short of the glory of God. What a strange thing to say. I'm going to dwell on this. What a strange thing to say. The glory of God. I mean, it's like you come short of the glory of God. Does that seem to say you're nearly glorious? I mean, like you just barely came short of the glory of God. Why is God bringing up the glory of God in this context? Why wouldn't he rather have said, you're not even close? Because you're not. We're not even close. We're not talking about, you know, almost making it, not quite. Why is he bringing up the glory of God in this? It really, you know, the truth is, it's a little bit of an enigma to me. It has been. It's been wondering, why would he say it that way? Why would he talk about the glory of God as if humans had this opportunity to attain the glory of God and we just kind of we missed the boat. We didn't quite do it. No, that's not it at all. And it's not real. I'm suggesting to you now that it is not about attaining the glory of God or being worthy of the glory of God. That's not what this point is about. It's about being capable of giving glory to God or bringing glory to God. In other words, it's about the glory of God. Amen. Now, that might be a little bit, seriously, if we had said it, we'd have said something like, you came short of being tolerable. You came short of being mediocre. You came short of being mediocre, put up withable. I made that one up. How about you came short of being worthy to live? That is the truth. You came short of being worthy to live. To breathe one more time. You breathe in. You weren't worthy. You weren't worthy of living. That's what you think should have been said in this point. I mean, if we're just making up verses that allow us to go through the Romans road and tell somebody the plan of salvation, that's not what I would have said. I wouldn't have said he came short of the glory of God. I said he's a piece of junk. He needs to be thrown in the garbage pile. That's what we are. We're sinners. Sinner doesn't mean you just barely missed the boat or just missed the target. Sinner means you're not worthy of living. You've done stuff that God hates. And God has destroyed people for less than what you've done. Amen. Think about it. God has destroyed people. He said so. He destroyed people for less than what you are guilty of right now. Talk about it. All right. It's not about attaining or being worthy of the glory of God. It's not about receiving glory from God as if he's going to pat you on the back and say, well done at the end if you hit the mark. That's not what it's about. It's about being worthy of bringing glory to God, or capable of giving God glory, or appropriate to just glorify His name so that He wouldn't be ashamed of looking at you while you praise His name. Wow. We've all come short of that. We're not pulling that off. We've come short of the glory of God. All right, I'm going to give you, I have to count them now, five. I've got 5 points about the glory of God. Number one, the propriety of the glory of God. It is entirely appropriate for God to get glory.
Amen.
Boy, He's deserving of glory. Number two, it's the purpose of creation. Amen. The glory of God is the reason for creation. It's the glory of God. Number three, it's the pursuit of life. It's what you ought to be going after. It's everything single. In fact, it's the only thing you have to offer.
Amen.
Yeah, I figured I'd gotten more amens on that one. But number four, the perverseness of failure. If you're not giving glory to God, what in the world are you useful for? That's a perverse throw. That's a perverse waste of resources. Because you're not giving any glory to God at all. Some people live in oblivion about it. Have no clue about it. And number five, the glory of God is the point of the gospel.
Amen.
It's the point. It's the focus of the gospel. There's a lot to be said on those. Let me just go back and I'll just try to do them briefly. Get you out of here by noon, if you're lucky. First of all, the propriety of the glory of God. Boy, God deserves some glory.
Amen.
Think about His intelligence. I'm telling you, man. I mean, don't we give glory to the intelligent people? Don't we all think, oh, Einstein, man, what a brain, what a genius. We think about all these intelligent people, people who invent stuff, people who do stuff. They're amazing. And it's amazing. And they deserve that kind of praise because it's impressive to us. Are you not impressed with God? Are you not impressed with His genius, with His intelligence? Wow, man. What about His power? Have you ever wondered where all this energy comes from? You know, scientists don't even know what energy is. They can't define it. They do not know what energy is. What is energy? What is it? What does that mean? They don't know what matter is. They don't know what energy is. They don't even know what light is. They don't know what gravity is. They have no idea. God did it all. He had the energy. He put the energy in there. Oh, it's amazing. How about the energy? How about the beauty?
Amen.
Have you thought about the beauty? The beauty of the colors that He invented. And by the way, they are a pure invention of His mind. Colors. The difference between green and red, invention of His mind. Such a small difference in the wavelength, but it's a completely different color. And you know it. And that's because God is a genius. Are you not impressed with God? I'd say He deserves a little bit of glory. And maybe once in a while say, wow, God, I appreciate this.
Amen.
Have you ever had a light show from God? Yeah, you've seen those finger lightning going through the sky and things happening in the clouds and everything. Whoa, this is amazing. You ought to be giving glory to God every single day of your life. Everything you focus on, no matter what you focus on, go a little bit deeper and you'll be more amazed by God. I don't care. Get down on your hands and your knees and look very closely at the grass. And you start seeing all kinds of things. Then you can't get up if you're as old as me. Man, God is something. How about the richness? How about the richness of God? He's just got so much. It's such abundance, richness. Man, he's just full. He's abounding of all the wonderful things. Oh man, God is amazing. How about His goodness?
Amen.
Man, you know, we're not very good, but God is good. And it comes natural to Him. If we're good, it's because we kind of force ourselves. But God, it just flows from Him. He doesn't have to try to be good. He just is good. Man, He's just good. How about His craftsmanship? How about Him designing your hand?
Amen.
You know, I don't know if you know how weird it is that we stand up on 2 feet. All the other animals, they walk around on 4 feet. And we stand up on 2 feet. We walk around, we play games if we can knock each other over. Call it tackling. We tackle them, they get knocked over, but then we get back up. We walk around on 2 feet. That's weird! But it's called design. It's craftsmanship. It was somebody who thought outside the box. He said, I'm going to give them the freedom to use their hands. And look at the hands I'm going to give them. They can play the piano. They can play the guitar. They can use a hammer. They can smash their other hand. They can do all kinds of things. They got all kinds of stuff they can do because God is just a craftsman. He knows what he's doing. Have you ever seen a beautiful woman? Wow! God did that. That was the last thing he did. That was wonderful. Wow, God, thank you. All right, don't get carried away now.
How about music?
How about music? She's helping me preach. All right. I'm going to get there. I might have to abbreviate a little bit, okay? All right, music. Yeah, music is pretty amazing, don't you think? How about all the other experiences that you go through?
Amen.
How about the tremendous experiences, the taste of an orange, the taste of a banana, the taste of a watermelon? Man, these are amazing things. God did all that. Don't you think he deserves glory? How about when you're stuffing your face right now, when it comes time noon, you're going to be stuffing your face. You ought to be thinking, wow, God, how did you do this? How did you come up with this? This is amazing. I feel sorry for those people who live out in the islands and all they live on is one kind of root. That's their entire, and maybe a little fish. One root, that's their entire thing. And what do you eat? My goodness, we have to decide where we're going to go eat. What are we? You want seafood? What kind of seafood? You go to the seafood place and there's all kinds of stuff. Man, this never ends. I'd say God deserves a little glory.
Amen.
Man, I think God deserves a little glory. All right, my phone turned off on me. It's okay. How about his teaching? Has he taught you about love? You know why you can understand the love of God? Because he gave you somebody that loves you and that you love. God taught us that by making marriage, by making children, by making the whole experience. God teaches us. Did you know that the things that are in this world are allegories to teach us? How many times the Bible tells us that this is an allegory to teach us such and such. God is showing us. He's making it so you can understand him, so that you can know him. Yeah, okay.
Amen.
Are we in agreement that God deserves some glory?
Amen.
Couldn't we also be in agreement that none of us deserve much?
Amen.
I mean, we're pretty pathetic compared to God. I don't know why we even bring ourselves up. But we do. We talk about ourselves more than we talk about almost anything else. Just talk about ourselves. Have you ever gotten into a conversation with somebody and all they talked about was themselves?
Yeah,
you know. It's basically everybody in this room. All right. Number two, the glory of God is the purpose of creation. You know why God did all this? Because he wanted to show off.
Amen.
You think that sounds bad because when you want to show off, you know it's bad. But man, God, he wants to show what he's able to do. He wants to show his genius. He wants to show his beauty. He wants to show his knowledge. He wants to show you so you can be impressed and he can have some fellowship with you because that's him. Did you realize that that was the purpose of his creation? The Bible says so. All these things were created for thy pleasure.
Amen.
It's his purpose in creating you. To glorify his amazingness.
Amen.
He wants to be known for who he is.
Amen.
Just like you would if you were anything worth knowing. If you had any abilities at all, you would want people to know, right? I mean, if you really have a great singing voice, don't you want people to know you can sing? Sure you do. We don't have very many in this room, but we know that there are people, and I'm telling you, if you're really good at music or if you're really good at, you know, fixing cars, don't you want people to notice and say, oh yeah, he's good at fixing cars or he's good at music or whatever. I mean, if you're a beautiful woman, don't you want people to know you're a beautiful woman? Or you want people never to notice you? No, we know exactly what this means. God, he made this so that we would glorify him. And he deserves it.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. Just look up in the heavens and they're saying, look how glorious God is.
Amen.
Look at all those pictures from the Webb telescope and these other telescopes they've got nowadays. They're getting deep down into the distant galaxies and they're finding all kinds of things. And it's amazing when you look at the pictures. They're there and you never saw them before. No human has ever seen them before, but they're out there declaring the glory of God. And I promise you, you go deeper, you'll find out he's even more glorious. That's the purpose of creation. What value is a star? Zero! Big old goose egg. A star has no value! There's billions of them, trillions of them. Value has to do with how scarce they are, but they're everywhere. Stars have no value. Galaxies have no value. One thought in your head has more value than a whole galaxy. Just one thought in your head. I'm not convincing you, but that's the truth anyway. One passing thought. Just one idle thought has more value than all of the galaxies. Man, you ought to stop and think about that. God wants to be glorified. You know, the heavens are testifying to his glory. Gold and diamonds and rubies and money. That's what you think is valuable, not God. One human experience is worth more than all of that. Just have a lovely wife. That's way better. We know it. We know it's true. We know having a child. We just got a new kid born into the church. Yeah? A new kid got born into the church. That's way more valuable than gold and rubies and all that stuff. You know it's true.
Amen.
The purpose of everything is to know and appreciate God.
Amen.
That's the reason why you exist. To know and appreciate God. It's the pursuit of life. It's the pursuit of life. That's why you're alive. That's why you're moving. That's why you think. That's why you've got the knowledge of right and wrong. That's why you understand when you've done wrong. That's why God gives opportunity for repentance. It's about the pursuit of knowing God's glory. What about all these oblivious lives that never glorify God and it never crosses their mind? They don't even know what they're missing. They have no idea. And there's a whole bunch of them nowadays because atheism is such a big deal. Taught in our colleges. A bunch of morons teaching absurdities in our colleges. It is absurdity, by the way. An atheist is absurd. He believes in absurdities. Something doesn't come from nothing. We know that. That's not even difficult. That doesn't take a lot of faith to know that something doesn't come from nothing. But people live their lives as if God doesn't exist. And they're seeing his glory every single day. They're experiencing it. They're knowing it. They're noticing it. But they don't give glory to God because they live in oblivion. They live in ignorance. I think that's amazing. That's amazing. Let me tell you something. Glorifying God is all you can do.
Amen.
That's all you can do. There's nothing else to do. You got a better idea? What are you going to do with your life? There's nothing else. All you can do is glorify God. That's the only thing that there is. And how about after you die and you meet God? What value are you? Just to glorify him. Just to be a testimony to him. Just to say how good God is, how amazing he is. That's all there is. This is your entire pursuit of life. This is all you've got. And boy, are you throwing away your life if you don't even begin to give him glory. It is your usefulness. It is your business. It is your only objective in life. You think your objective in life is to see all the world capitals? Really? That's our bucket list? You got a bucket list? You want to go see the Grand Canyon? You want to go see Niagara Falls? And you want to go see Angel Falls? And you want to go see... Well, that's your big, great bucket list! Wow! Do you realize that the real bucket list is glorify God with your life?
Amen.
Because there's nothing else!
Right.
Trust me! You don't need to go see all these things. Trust me, they're boring. Well, the Grand Canyon is not too boring. But state capitals? No, give me a break. If you can experience His glory.
Amen.
Just experience, just to feel it. Just to say, wow. Or if you can give Him glory.
Amen.
Hey, can you give Him glory?
Yes.
You realize that you can do that? There's an awful lot of things you can't do, but there's one thing you can do. You can give God glory.
Amen.
You can. You can. The problem is you're a sinner and you're afraid of God and you have to hide from God and you can't. You've fallen short. You have come short of the glory of God. You don't know how to give God glory. You're not appropriate to give God glory. Oh, that's a real problem because there's nothing else. What else are you going to give God? Money? What's He going to do with it? Even Americans know their money's not worth much. What are you going to give God? Sacrifice? Yeah, you're going to kill a lamb? What are you going to do? Tithe? That's going to take care of God? Wow. Service? Love? What are you going to do? The only thing you can do is give God glory.
Amen.
If you can give God glory, that's the one thing you are capable of doing worthwhile in your life. All right, number four, the perverseness of failure. How horrible it is for you to fail at that one thing.
Amen.
If you're not giving God glory, you are a wretched failure. You are a waste of resources. A waste of air, a waste of water, a waste of food, a waste of time. If you're not giving God glory. And you know how much of your life is spent not giving Him glory? Yeah. Oh man. The perverseness of those that do not glorify God. You realize that people are obsessed with trifles?
Yes.
And trivia? Yeah. Just obsessed, obsessed, obsessed. They spend their life on their phone playing Candy Crush. How is it possible that they're not aware of the glory of God? Or they're not impressed by the glory of God? They're not studying to discover the glory of God. Scientists now, they're trying to find out all kinds of things, but not for the glory of God. Science at one time was about discovering the glory of God. That was what began science. Nowadays, they're just dull-minded. They look at this and they think, wow, this is amazing. But it's meaningless to them. And it has no purpose. Oh, what a loss. What a loss. What uselessness. You realize they're not seeking, people are not seeking to enhance the glory of God or to discover it or to be able to talk about it. They don't want to participate in it. All of this stuff, it's the glory of God. That's what the whole point is.
Amen.
It's a perverse thing that you're not obsessed with the glory of God. That's perversity. That is a horrible waste of your life.
Amen.
For you not to seek the glory of God all your life.
Amen.
All right. God is not at all pleased with that attitude. Number five, the point of the gospel is the glory of God. You ever heard that song? God looked beyond my fault and saw my need. That's a nice song. I like it. It's not a bad song. But did it cross your mind that it's not about your need? I've heard some say, well, why doesn't God do more? Why doesn't God save more people? If He can save everybody, why doesn't He just save everybody? Why does He... Has it ever crossed your mind that it's not about your need? It's not about your terrible situation? That really the gospel is about the glory of God?
Amen.
It's about bringing God glory? Let me tell you something. Forgiveness of the guilty would be wrong if the reason was compassion for the guilty. Do I need to repeat that? I wrote it down in case I needed to. Forgiveness of the guilty would be wrong if the reason is compassion for the guilty. Think about that. But you know, that's what people, you know, judges nowadays, they say they're feeling so sorry for these perpetrators, for these bad guys, that they let them out. Oh, poor people, they had a hard time. What about the victims? Where's the compassion for the victims? It's amazing. If a murderer kills someone, the victim has no voice. And that means the judge has to remember the victim. But they don't see the victim. All they see is the guilty. And they have compassion for the guilty. But if the compassion for the guilty is the reason for forgiveness, then it's wrong.
Amen.
You got to think about that. God's not going to forgive if it doesn't bring him glory. If it's a shame on him, and it would be a shame if he just forgave willy-nilly, not thinking. No, there's something wrong there. It's a wrong focus. It's a wrong focus to think that it's about our need. Us poor, sinful people. Poor people. Wow, man, I'm telling you, that's a mistake. How about the gospel is not about your happiness? Did you know the gospel is not about your happiness? But that's the way it's preached nowadays, almost all over the place. They preach about God wants to make you happy. God wants you to have a wonderful, happy life. That's the whole point. The reason why Jesus died was so you'd be happy. But that ain't it. Did you know the reason for the gospel is the glory of God? You know the reason why they preach the gospel is to glorify God? That's the whole point. The reason why he's willing to forgive your sins is for his glory. That is an amazing thing. Yeah, okay. It's not about happiness. It's not about prosperity. It's not about fulfillment. It's not about your talents. It's not about your potential. It's about his glory. Any gospel preached should glorify God.
Amen.
The moment it doesn't glorify God, it's a perversion of the gospel. It's not correct. It should not glorify us. It should not glorify humanity. Do you know that's why God says, not of works, lest any man should boast? The gospel is not about glorifying sinners. It's certainly not about glorifying Mary, or the Pope, or the priest, or the preacher, or the president. It's not about glorifying the church, or Christianity, or our tradition. That's not what the gospel is about. It's certainly not about glorifying the sinner.
Amen.
It's not about glorifying the sinner. It's not about telling the sinners how important they are to God. God showed his love on the cross.
Amen.
He doesn't have to prove it. He went to the cross out of love to save sinners. But it's to glorify him. And your whole point should be, I want to get on that side.
Amen.
I want to be on the side of glorifying God.
Amen.
I want to be about God.
Amen.
You know what the Bible is telling you to do? It's telling you to repent of your sinfulness. Repent of your mindless wastefulness. Repent of your self-centeredness. Man. Your mediocrity, your half-heartedness, your hypocrisy. Repent of all that stuff.
Amen.
And receive the forgiveness of sins which glorifies Jesus Christ. It glorifies God's character. You receive the forgiveness of sins in true humility and say, God, I want to be about you.
Amen.
Finally, because it's not about you. It is about him. And then you focus your life on the glory of God.
Amen.
The rest of your life. Because it is about the glory of God. Now, somebody might think this is just way too mean. I mean, we're not considering all the poor people. But I want you to know that God sees you as a sinner. He sees you as a sinner, and he's willing to forgive you even as a sinner.
Amen.
If you're willing to dedicate your life to him and say, God, it is about you. I repent of how I've treated you. I repent on how I've ignored you. I repent of how I've disregarded you. Your glory, your amazingness, your everything about you. I've ignored it all my life. I repent of that. And now I come to you humbly saying, forgive me of that wrong. Forgive me of that sin. And allow me to participate in your glory.
Amen. Glory to God.
That becomes salvation.
Amen.
That changes your life. That allows God to come and live inside you and give you a new life. And then your whole life becomes a testament to his glory. So that we can glorify God forever in the future. And that's what it says in Ephesians. The whole family is going to be there glorifying God. And it becomes meaningful. The whole thing becomes meaningful. Not that meaningfulness is what's important. The glory of God is what's important. I would recommend to you that you give your life to Jesus Christ and participate in the glory of God. Amen. Lord, I ask you for this congregation because you're our whole hope of any blessing, God. You are the one. We give you glory. We thank you for the life you gave us. We thank you for the food you give us, the air we breathe, the freedom we have in this country. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you, to come here and to hear your gospel. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as a Savior, God, would you please call them? Let them hear your voice. Let them know that you are on their side and that you want to save them. And Lord, we'll give you the glory. It's all about giving you the glory, and that's what we want to do. Bless us today, Lord, every way, every which way we go, and bring us back tonight with joy and rejoicing. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.